Now, in some ways, if we had chosen weeks to fit with a baptismal service, we couldn't have chosen a better week with Romans 8, because all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And we've already heard how some of that has fitted together in Broden's life. One of the sad things about meeting with Broden, there's been lots of wonderful things. In fact, most of it's been wonderful, but it was interesting to me that when we got to Christmas and we had some of the stuff up here, Broden said to me, oh, where do the three wise men fit in with Christmas? And I thought, he might probably doesn't even remember, but I thought, what an interesting question to get from a guy this age. But I know that in South Australia, all of that Sunday, all of that RE stuff was taken away in the 70s. So we have generations of people, young people particularly, growing up with really without the basic knowledge of anything Jesus-y. So let's not assume that people know things, because they don't. And Broden's been great to work with, because he said, Colin, I'm a blank canvas and the door's shut. And then gradually, as we've met, he said, the door's open a bit, the door's open a bit, you know. And as he said today, feet have got wet. So, yeah. However, please turn to the section that Gilbert read to us from chapter 8, and we'll have a look at some of the profound things there. And you should have received from James as you came in a notice or a guideline for what we're looking at, this little section of scripture. We've already seen over the last couple of weeks that there's no condemnation, so we are forgiven. God's Spirit is in us, guiding us. Can I just reinforce that the Spirit of God is a person? When we become a Christian, God comes by his Spirit to indwell us. He's not an it. And in some Christian traditions even, the Spirit of God is still considered an it that can be pushed around or directed, like an object that I can control. No, the Spirit of God comes into us to control us, not us to control the Spirit. And so we need to make sure that he's a person. And then last week we were reminded of the hope that we have. So this week, let's move on. The Holy Spirit in verse 26 helps us. I just want to re-emphasise that he helps. He doesn't necessarily take over. We need to be careful there, that he comes alongside. And just to reinforce that, there are scriptures in John 14, a number of things about him being the comforter, the counsellor, the guide, the one who is the divine helper. How amazing. And sometimes we sort of think, how on earth can this work? We don't know how to pray. The Spirit himself intercedes with sighs too deep or groanings or moanings or whatever we want to say. And we ask, how does this happen? Well, I think one of the ways that is helpful to understand is that the Spirit of God working in us, we have intentions in our prayers. We know what we're praying, but sometimes we can't even put that into words. I think sometimes we've probably just sat and thought, God, just as well you know what I'm thinking, because really I can't articulate that. And I think one of the ways that helps us is that those of us who have children, we understand our children's desires, and sometimes even just their facial expression tells us what's going on in their life or in their thinking. And then when they're young and even a bit older, and even when they become teenagers and go and they're not talking in a language, even though people at different ages stumble and groan and can't express themselves, we understand what's going on as parents. It helps me to think like that in relation to God, that there may be things going on in my heart, in my mind, that I can't articulate, but the Holy Spirit takes those. I was saying to someone before, years and years ago, we've got twin sons who are now in their 30s, but I asked the kids in Sunday school to draw how they understood the Trinity. And one of our sons drew three people. One standing on his shoulders, one standing on his shoulders, putting in the basketball into the hoop. And they said, that's the Trinity. That's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit scores the goal. And in a way, that's a bit how I think it is with God and us praying. That the Spirit somehow takes what we are thinking and praying and, as it were, scores the goal with God. Because there are some things we just can't put into words. But God, who understands us like we understand our children, is able to score that. I've got there, the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep. And sometimes, have you ever sat in a prayer meeting or even maybe heard it in church or even done it yourself, and you've prayed and you thought, what I'm praying is not really what I want. I'm just praying this so that the person who's in the prayer meeting hears that I'm praying the right thing. And yet actually what I'm praying with my lips is not really what I'm thinking in my heart. So that's why we have the Spirit of God. God, Spirit, Jesus interceding, and that's why the Spirit of God is a person in us. He understands us. And he understands the interpretation to God. So wonderful that it's not the articulation or the cleverness of our words, but the relationship that we have with God. And the next little bit says that. There's that inarticulate desires that we have. The right motive and is shaped by the Spirit. And isn't this lovely? I'll never forget you, Bev. Never forget you when I asked that question, are you a saint? And this is in verse 27, when the Spirit intercedes for the saints, and you said, I'm not a saint according to my behaviour, but I am a saint because God calls me a saint. We're the saints of God. Hey, you're Saint Broden. And and we're all saints. And isn't it wonderful that God's Spirit intercedes for us? This is what we need to grasp. Not in our strength, but the Spirit of God in us intercedes for us through Jesus. Fantastic. We are such privileged people. Such privileged people. And so I've got there, the wordless prayer is born of the Spirit in accordance with God's purpose. Sometimes just sitting in the presence of God is maybe the most powerful prayer. Not having to make up words or even put things into words, but God, you know my heart, you know the desires, you know what I want. So please take that as my prayer. Yeah, we don't have to be clever. We don't have to make up things. We don't have to use words that are very, very smart. Now, verse 28 is often quoted. We know that in everything God works for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And I'll refer back to Broden because he said that there were three things in his life: mum, girlfriend, work. And all of those things, one Thursday when he came, were in a bit of a mess. They'd all gone the wrong way. Well, they hadn't quite gone the way you'd prayed, had they, Broden? And so how does everything work together for good? So does God muddle things around, or is it on reflection that we see that God has worked things for good? Or when we're in the situation, as miserable as it is, do we say, because I'm a child of God, called according to his purpose, somehow he is going to work out of this things for his glory and for my good? And I think it comes back to our trust. If the Spirit of God is in us and we have the assurance of the Spirit of God, then although some situations are horrible in the present, we are able to say, because of my faith in Jesus, I know that somehow out of this situation I will be able to reflect and see God working in this situation for his goodness and for my benefit. And I think some of you would be able to testify to situations like that, that in the situation you have not appreciated it. And you may have even said to God, what on earth is going on? But actually, something is going on in heaven that is working out on earth for our benefit and for his glory. Which brings us to the motive, of course, of saying, do I want the glory of God? Do I want the glory of God above all else, or do I want comfortableness? Do I want to be comfortable? So we've just got to balance that up, don't we? Because sometimes what is happening to us is not comfortable, but it's for our benefit. And so at the end we say, yes, I do understand. So I've got there, he works all for good, he's loved and chosen us. And because he's loved and chosen us, then we know that some of the situations that occur, and his foreknowledge of situations, let's get this right, his foreknowledge of situations is not force. We're dealing with God. Beginning and end? No. So we need to be aware that just because God knows something doesn't mean he pushes us in that direction. And we're going to see this in these next few verses that talk about being called, foreknowing, predestined and conformed. Remember that this was written to the Roman believers. So he's saying to them, this is your situation. You were called. I knew you. I knew you. I've called you. I've predestined you in this direction, and I want you to conform to my son. Now, some people would say, oh, well, why worry about sending missionaries to tell other people about Jesus if he's already chosen people and they already know and it's foreordained? No. What he's saying here is, you Christians, have a think about the preciousness of being called by God and chosen and taken on that path. That's why I've got the reference there to Peter. Because what is God's heart? God's heart in Peter is that no one should perish. So has he predestined people to hell? No, he hasn't. These are two different situations. One situation is you believers in Rome understand where you've come from, he's chosen you, you are very special, and on you go. Peter is saying, get out and tell the world. Because God wants everyone to hear. And what I'm saying is, just because here it looks like predestination, have we done away with free will? No, we haven't. Those two can sit comfortably together. That when we know that God has chosen people, that's fine. But it is still open to people to respond. And there I've got the quote from The Living. Having chosen us, he called us to come to him, and when we came, he declared us not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness, gave us right standing with himself, and promised us his glory. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Chosen us, yes, and we look back and say, there was a point in my time, in my life, when God put his hand on me. We've just heard that this morning. So God's put his hand on me, chosen us. Why? Why would he bother? Why would he choose? Because he loves us. and it's his will that no one should perish. So he has chosen us, and we know that. He's called us to come to him, and when we came, he said, not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness by his Spirit, gave us right standing, and promised us his glory. Oh, friends, what more do we want? What more do we want but right standing with God? So, predestination does not interfere with free will. He has not overridden our free will. And we know some people, don't we, who have said at one stage, I am a follower, and then they've nicked off and said, no, I don't follow Jesus anymore. I mean, it comes to me particularly with a lady my age who led beach missions with me. And now she says, when I was a Christian. When I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. If we can come to God, drawn by his Spirit, then there's opportunity to walk out from God. Hebrews reminds us of that. It's a dangerous spot to walk out on God. A very, very dangerous spot. But what's the outcome of all of this? Well, the outcome of all of this is not to say, oh, well, whatever happens to me, that's the will of God and I'll just bounce along. No. The outcome of our Father's action is this, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. So, we learned about sufferings, and we realised last week that part of Christian life has sufferings. Why? Because Jesus suffered. So if we are going to be conformed to the image of his Son, it can't all be sunshine. In fact, in an agricultural way, if everything's sunshine, what do we end up with? A desert. And nothing grows in the desert. So not that we want rain, figuratively speaking, on our lives, but if there is rain or heartache or sadness on our life, well, that helps to produce, what would we say, a crop. And the two things come together. So we need to see the hand of God. We are predestined to holiness through suffering, trials, forgiveness, and we are to be conformed not to this world. And we need to realise that too, because there are so many pressures that want to push us into conformity. Be like this one, have this, do this. And we actually want to say no. We want to be conformed not to the world, but to the image of Jesus. That's why God has called us, chosen us, put the Spirit in us, done all these things. Why? So that we might be like Jesus. That's the whole idea. That's why we're here. That's why we're Christians. To be like Jesus. Because we're his sons and daughters. So we would reflect the characteristics of our Father and we'd be like our brother. That's the whole idea, that we would be conformed. So we pray in a certain way, helped by the Spirit of the living God, and we trust, even in the midst of some difficult times, that God is going to work all things together for good because he loves us. And because he's called us. God calls his children not to a place. Let's enjoy heaven when it comes. But he hasn't called us to heaven. He's called us to be like Jesus. He's called us to a likeness, to be conformed to the image of his Son. So day by day we are being changed, whether it's the water bottle and the Spirit, or in other ways, but we are being changed day by day to be like Jesus. That's the goal of being on earth, to be like him. So if we're being like him, obviously, we're going to share his message. We're going to live like him. We're going to trust the Father like he did. We're going to touch people's lives like he did. So we are called, yep, and chosen, yep, And we've responded, yep, we have. And we are to be conformed, to be like Jesus. So when people look at us, what should they see? Well, obviously, not a Jesus-looking person in that sense, but a Jesus character, the character of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that your message has touched our lives, and as a result, we have been able to respond, and not only to respond, but to allow your Spirit to come and live in our life and to transform us, to renew us and to remake us. So again, as we have been reminded, we give our lives afresh and ask our God that you might take us and mould us into the likeness of Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen.